Hello and welcome back to Dear Pop Culture Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about pop culture that is dear to us. I was saying we're back because it feels like it's been a while, even though episodes have been coming out consistently. But all of the past ones were recorded back in October. So it feels different, and it might not feel different for the podcast because we talk about things in the past. But I just thought I should mention that anyway. Yeah, it's good to be back. I'm excited. We're recording from our homes now. And I have a very exciting guest today, a very funny comedian, my friend Casey Novak. Yay!
Happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks.
Not be there, I guess.
Yeah, happy to not be out. Yeah. Yeah. How are you?
Whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
January in Vancouver.
I know.
Say no more. Yeah.
Yeah. With no comedy shows to go out to. It's
with no identity anymore. Like every day about myself. I'm like, why am I here? Oh yeah. I used to have this thing that I did all the time.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
But now I just think about doing my dishes and that's about it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you write? I don't write anymore.
I don't write as much as I intend to, but that's actually the purpose of this calendar I bought on the wall, was to make writing goals, and you can see that it's blank. But yeah, I've been working on like some scripts.
That's so good. Yeah, it's good to focus on not comedy. It's hard to write stand-up when you can't do it.
There's no stand-up. Yeah.
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 I go to work. I work at the coffee shop still, and I still bring a notebook in my backpack, just out of a habit from when I used to do comedy. But I haven't cracked it open.
No, but that's good. The intention is good.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you went back, because that place has hurt you so many times.
It's they're actually. It's funny because so many places weren't hiring and I had my injury, and so
concussions there? Is that correct?
I got two concussions. Only one of them was at work.
Oh.
But even then, they did what they're supposed to do. They helped me file for workers' comp. Then now with my leg injury, they're very understanding and they let me sit all the time, and
good.
Yeah, so I'm for now it's fine, gets me out of the house.
No, it's really good to have a place to go to if it's a safe situation.
Uh-huh.
But you're at the Granville Market, is that right?
Yeah, Granville Island.
Yeah. Does it feel crazy and
it's
stressful?
A little bit. During Christmas, the week before and a few days after Christmas, it was just so busy, and I was like, what? It just people,
why are we here?
Yeah, why are you all here? This isn't really, I get it if you're getting groceries and coming back, but it was just people trying to congregate and stand in groups with their coffees inside the market, and I'm like, no, we're not doing this. No.
I know. Yeah, I think the impulse to deny reality was so strong during the holidays, a lot of mm-hmm. people just wanted to pretend nothing was happening.
So true. But that can move us into podcast topic territory. Is there anything, mm-hmm. what are you into right now pop culture wise
that does dovetail with this podcast? Because over the holiday I was acutely homesick because my family's in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided not to travel home. I get so irate when someone goes, but you could have gone. You could go. I'm like, yeah, I could have gotten on multiple planes at multiple airports and gone to a hotbed of transmission. Yeah, I could have done that. That's something.
Yeah.
But I chose not to. I wonder why. It's so frustrating to me. Anyway.
Wow.
I had a bad date last night. That's where that anger is coming from. Mm. So anyhow, I couldn't go home for the holidays, so I was mainly just here, and I decided to reboot and re-enter my favorite pop culture place in the world, Stars Hollow, and rewatch Gilmore Girls. And yes, right away, it's magic, because right away when I started watching the pilot, I was like, I'm 15 years old again, and everything's okay, and I'm going to go to Harvard with Rory. So soothing, and I'm now up to the beginning of season 3, so I've really been cramming.
Nice.
Yeah.
That show is so comforting. I always find myself going back to it. Just even like picking a random episode and just being like, whatever.
Whatever. Taylor's there. Everyone's consistent. And it's such a joy to be there. Because it does feel like an escape. Like, it really does feel like you are in that bizarro world where everyone has like quippy.
Yeah.
Comebacks. Everyone talks quickly. You can drink gallons of coffee and not have heartburn.
Yeah, and not feel insane.
Not feel insane or have heart palpitations like I do now.
Yeah.
You can, and actually, this is the funny. So being 15 years old again, that also like brought up a lot of other issues. So I started Googling, can you eat like Rory and Lorelai and lose weight? Like, my mind was back in that spot of like, how is this possible? And what's great about the internet is that there's been so much, you know, like pop culture criticism, body positivity and feminist, you know, think pieces. So I mean, there was coverage from like Vogue and Vanity Fair regarding, there was one actually woman on BuzzFeed who ate like Lorelai Gilmore for 48 hours. Like, she actually ate everything that she did and drank the same amount of coffee. And she's like, I wanted to kill myself.
Oh my God.
That's was not sustainable.
I love that so much. Yeah. Yeah. That show is hilarious. It's like the two tiniest women, and they're always eating. And it's like,
they're always eating Pop-Tarts in the morning, cheeseburgers every day at Luke's, Chinese food, and donuts and nothing else, and coffee.
Worst.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I've been deep into the Gilmore universe.
That's so fun. Do you have a favorite Gilmore Girls townsperson?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
It's a really deep one. Do you mean one of the side characters, like a non-romantic lead? Or
I guess it doesn't have to be someone who lives in Stars Hollow, but I think side character.
I love Sally Struthers.
Oh yeah.
Babette. Her delivery's so good. Like, I didn't appreciate it when I was a teen, but she's just phenomenal in that comedic role. But I think probably Kirk.
Cool. Yeah,
that's the obvious choice,
but he's so funny. They just put him in, they're like, he's gonna be the most ridiculous person and do he can do anything
well consistently. And I guess he charmed over the casting director or production, because originally his character was introduced as Mitch. He was Mitch, he was dealing with the termites in their house. No, he was there to install. Oh my God, I really just watched season 1.
Yeah.
He was there to install a DSL cable that Lorelai didn't want, but Emily had already paid for it because Rory got into Chilton. So she needed like high speed internet at home, which is so funny to think about.
Yeah.
Getting a DSL cable installed. But originally his character was named Mitch. So he wasn't cast as Kirk, but I guess he just grew.
Wow. He was just going to be in like one episode. Oh, I love that.
What other Gilmore facts do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bring it. I'm ready.
Oh, I will ask, who do you think Lorelai should have ended up with?
That's a really good question, too, because truth be told, I stopped watching this series after season 4, which I think that's when Rory sleeps with Dean. I think that's season 4.
Oh.
It might be 3.
You mean like she sleeps with him because after he's married?
Yeah. She's an adulterer. but I went off to university at that point, so I just kind of lost I just stopped watching the series. I know about some of the other character arcs that happen. I know everyone's not a fan of the later seasons.
Okay.
But with in regards to Lorelai, right now at season 3, I feel like Christopher should be endgame.
Ooh.
But no, that's not true. Actually, can I edit my response, please?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. I'm still a fan of Max Medina.
God, I don't even remember.
He was Rory's teacher at high school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. They actually had her with like a few different guys. I don't know. I feel like people talk about all of Rory's different boyfriends, but I'm like, Lorelai had a lot.
Lorelai's the more interesting one. That's the other interesting thing about watching this now, because now I'm older than Lorelai. So like I'm really horny for all her love interests.
Right.
Whereas the first time I watched it, I was horny for Rory's interests. So
yeah, Chad Michael Murray.
I'm glad my sexuality has matured in a reasonable timeline. It'd be odd if I was still like hot for Dean.
But yeah.
Lauren Graham's such a good actress.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
I love Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, we could go into this. I actually just read a thing. It might have been like a clickbaity thing, so I don't know if it's true, but it was like that she quit smoking so she could say all her lines really fast like they do.
I think I heard that too. Yeah. You have to have the breath support.
Yeah, they talk so quickly. And I also heard that like they write, usually it's like one page for a script is 1 minute.
Oh yeah. Like that.
And
right.
Then they would write so much in that they would like try and double that or something. It's crazy.
Yep. That sounds right. Yeah. Their scripts might have been, oh my God, 80 pages long. This is like a movie.
Oh my God. Right.
But can I toss a question to you? Did you watch A Year in the Life, the Netflix reboot?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did.
Let's pour one out. That was
a little disappointing. Mm-hmm.
More than disappointing.
Yeah.
And to boot, my friend and I, who also is a Gilmore Girls fan, we went to the pop-up Luke's shop in Vancouver that they did.
Yeah.
And that was as disappointing as the series. So you show up. The only thing that was really happening was they had a sticky cup Luke's cardboard sign stuck to the front window of this cafe. And then there was a line that was at least half a mile long that wrapped around the block, around the corner, and down the alleyway.
Jesus.
So it would have been maybe a 3-hour wait. We did not wait.
Yeah. And I bet, I don't know, like, I get the idea, but to me, watching the show, like, even as a fan, like, Luke's, there's nothing really special about it that I was like,
no,
I don't know. Like,
I love it.
Luke himself.
Oh, for me, so I have the same amount of affection for Gilmore Girls as I do for diners in general. I just love diner culture and life. The best, I'm a terrible waitress, but the best waitressing jobs I had were in diners. That's just where I spiritually feel at home.
I love that.
Of eggs at any point.
Yes.
Luke. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Luke?
I really like him. I don't know. He's like super angry guy, but he's like lovable.
Did you know that he was a professional baseball player?
No.
Before becoming an actor.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's and cool. I just looked up his IMDb because I am dedicated. When I go into a pop culture tunnel, I'm there and I get studious. Had a few acting credits throughout the 90s before getting Gilmore Girls, but
okay.
He does. He acts like he plays baseball. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get that vibe.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a very manly man.
Manly man. Probably just shoots some tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Etc.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So is this where I alienate the audience of your podcast by just talking about Gilmore Girls the whole time? I don't know if anyone's going to.
I don't know. I hope that most of them have seen it. If they haven't, watch it. It's like a... I don't know. People... rewatch shows like Friends all the time, and I'm like, well, to me, Gilmore Girls is better, but
well, here's
but it's different,
thing.
I guess.
Here's the thing. I think I am totally open to ridicule for Gilmore Girls and people rolling their eyes about that, because everything that you love, that's like, there's some eye roll inducing factor about everything that's culture and an escape.
Totally.
So I feel it's an equal, like, I respect anyone who goes hard for Friends.
Oh yeah, true. I wasn't trying to diss it.
Yeah, but it's not my cup of tea either. But when I do catch a Friends rerun, I'm like, oh, there are jokes here. A lot of them are homophobic, but there are a lot of solid jokes.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll say what I have been getting into. I just found the 90s Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I've revisited, I've watched like 10 episodes of the first season so far.
Does that give back? I would not think about revisiting that show.
I just like, I think it just, I loved it so much as a kid. And so I just was like, I'm just going to try. And like, it's like funny. It, you know, I don't know if that I'll watch the whole thing. I think there's like 7 seasons or something. But it's funny. And I think what I loved about it and what that imprinted on me was like, there are a ton of pop culture references, same as in Gilmore Girls. But like in Sabrina, it's just funny because I'm like, a lot of the times they use their magic to just like summon celebrities.
Oh, really? That's how they get a cameo?
Yeah. Yeah. Here. Like the ants were just like, there's this spell that they're like, if you say something 3 times and if you want it enough, then you can make it happen if you're a witch. And they're like, yeah, we call it.
I want that.
Amazing. And the ants were describing this to Sabrina and they were like, we call it the Toby Keith spell. I think it's Toby Keith. Cause then they say his name 3 times and he appears, and like he was good looking to their credit, but I was like, weird reference. Well,
that's blowing my mind because I didn't realize Toby Keith has been in the stratosphere of celebrity for that long, for at least 2 decades. Because I don't know what he looks like. I just know his name, country music.
Yeah.
Even if I saw his face, it would probably be like a white male blur. Like, I wouldn't be able to pick him out of a lineup.
Yeah.
Good for Toby Keith.
I know. Yeah. Getting that cameo.
What's Sabrina's backstory for why she's being raised by aunts? Do they talk about that, or is it just
So in this version, because her mom is a mortal and her dad is a warlock or witch, then I think there's something to do with like, she can't, like, her parents are both alive still, but once she becomes a witch for the first 2 years, if she looks at her mortal mother, her mother will like turn to stone or something.
What?
It's something like that. That's insane.
That sounds like a setup for a good drama. Like, I wouldn't think of that being the stakes for a comedy show.
Yeah. And yeah, I was shocked because in like the new Netflix one, her parents are dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, in this one, they were like, no, yeah, your father lives in the other realm. It really doesn't make sense why she lives with her aunts, to be honest.
That's a very convenient absent father excuse. Like, yeah, he's a warlock. He's in a different dimension. Sorry.
Right.
And your mother low-key hates you, but also there's this idea that
also you can't see her. Yeah.
Also, while rewatching, is Caroline Ray like the outstanding comedic performer on the series? Does she stick out as like the most, is it the funniest?
Yeah, she's very funny.
She's so funny.
Yeah. I was thinking about that watching, and I was like, I remember that. And when she used to be on Hollywood Squares, did you watch that?
No, I never did.
It was like a game show where they had, it was like the celebrities.
Oh, yeah, I know the setup. Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's tic-tac-toe. Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg was always in the center square.
I can't believe that show isn't, is it not still going? Could you imagine it now? It'd be like TikTok personalities and.
Ooh, yeah.
It'd be great. American Idol rejects.
Yeah, reality stars, Real Housewives.
They should reboot that. That's an easy, easy sell.
That would be fun. I loved that.
Of course. We love celebrities. Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's move into the past more. I mean, we've already talked more about it, but the next part of the podcast. So what were you into in your youth? What excited you? What posters did you have on your walls?
Oh, that's a good way to ask it. Okay, well, this was like, it was not a decision I made, but my mom put up the poster for The Princess Bride when I was all of maybe 7.
Oh my God.
And that was one of the staple VHSs that we watched time and time again, which in retrospect is grade A quality. Like, that set the standards pretty high. That's such a good...
It's great. I sometimes, like, now I'll, like, see it. Like, I saw they added it to Crave, and I was like, I don't want to watch it. I've seen it so many times. But then you do, and it's still good.
Still, yeah. Won't let you down. But that's a good question. What posters were on my wall? When you're young, you kind of just... Merch just kind of happens. I didn't, like, seek out merch.
Yeah.
I got, like, the soundtrack to Never Been Kissed, and I think it came with a poster. So that was on my wall. And I enjoyed that movie. I don't know if I enjoyed it to a poster on my wall level, but it just came with the CD.
That's a good point.
I enjoyed.
I just ripped out at a certain point. It was like everything from a magazine. So it like didn't matter.
See, okay. I respect that angle. There were a pack of girls in my middle school who had like the traditional... We have boy band photos on our binders and on our lockers.
Right.
And they all love 98 Degrees, which I didn't understand even further.
Wow.
So I grew up outside of Cincinnati and they're from Cincinnati. So I don't know if that was like a hometown.
Okay.
Pride. Anyway, I just didn't. I didn't get it. I didn't.
That's no one's favorite boy band.
No. No, even then it felt embarrassing.
Yeah.
I can't even think of a song that they did. They did the boxing music video.
Yeah.
That was a metaphor for love.
I can't even think of what video that was. They had this song, I Do. It was like, I do cherish you. Anyway.
See, I don't even...
I did have a CD, but I also had Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, so...
Oh, here's a piece of pop culture I was insulted by. My uncle bought me the CD to Hootie and the Blowfish, and I've never felt more misunderstood in my life.
Yeah.
Again, I had no income, so I just was like victim to whatever gifts of music people gave me.
Right.
Oh, and on that note, my mom would buy me every Britney Spears CD. I'm like, it didn't make sense because she was very much like, she like was more about buying books and like things that were... I don't know, more stimulating. But I really got into Britney Spears CDs. And what I would do, I would listen and like imagine the music video treatment I would do for that song.
Oh, yes.
And that's how I engage with Britney Spears.
I think I did the same thing.
Oh, yeah?
Do you remember any of them?
There was one song called Bombastic Love. Do you remember this?
I think that's on like her... The In the Zone CD?
It was like the most multi-syllabic word. Maybe. I don't know. I just remember it sounded like a little like she was kind of cosplaying as like a baroque, almost like Annie Lennox's Walking in Broken Glass a little bit. Where it was like this posing as a period piece of pop music. I'm just laughing at the cadence. It was like, bombastic love, so fantastic. And it was so silly, but I kind of said it in a period Jane Austen world. And that was one of my Britney Spears video treatments you should have asked me about. Do you have a standout one that you could... What do you got?
The only thing I can remember specifically, and it was like the video for Lucky...
Yes.
So it was like
pivotal.
I mean, the song is a full-on story.
That's right.
Already. Narrative. And so like I remember thinking about it and like doing it with my friend in the backyard, and then it was basically what the video is, and I remember just being like, "I came up with that because I was like, oh, you know, it would be like it would be like her. She's a movie star and she's crying. But it's like, yeah, that's what the song is about.
I love how you did you feel like stolen from? You're like
a little bit, because I was like, I was like, oh, like it'll be her crying. But then also like Britney Spears is there singing. And like that's literally what happened in the video. And I was just like,
that's mine.
Yeah,
I love that. My brain worked that way, too. Where I once was walking by the band room in middle school, and I just saw on the board, how do you solve a problem like Maria, which is a very famous line from The Sound of Music, which I had not seen into that point, but I'm sure I've heard, I had heard the song. So, but I started to put that lyric to a melody I thought I was inventing. And then that year we watched Sound of Music in band, and I was like, I wrote that song. How did they take that from me?
Oh my God.
I guess we're all assholes when we're like tweens, megalomaniacs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm inventing the world, you guys.
Yeah, this like Oscar winning musical. I wrote it.
How did they? Wow. How dare?
That's so
I
good.
I love pop culture. I could talk about all these things for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's so fun. Oh. I don't know. Was there any movies or I don't know. Like
I think 10 Things I Hate About You really stood out.
Ooh, yeah.
We saw that in theaters. My mom was cool. She took me out of school, I think, for like a mental health day, and we went to see it.
Oh.
So that was exciting. And it also felt like, I guess in the same way Gilmore Girls did, where it felt like a teen focused piece of work that didn't take the audience's intelligence for granted. Like it felt like it was operating at a higher, like just written for like smart people, you know?
Yeah.
Not dumbed down in the way like maybe a She's All That might be.
Yeah, definitely. Like it definitely holds up better than like a She's All That.
Yeah.
Have you watched it recently? Do you remember the Allison Janney? She's like the secretary.
You're up.
And she's writing a dirty novel.
How do you spell tumescent? I think is the word. It's brilliant. She's the best.
Yeah.
I should be so lucky to have like an ounce of her talent. She's great and tall.
Yeah.
Which is why I feel very protective of her.
Right. Akin. Yeah.
What was your, did you have like a standout? Maybe a movie that was like your coming of age movie, like something that made you feel understood or.
The thing that like, so I hate talking about it. I don't, but like Mean Girls came out when I was in the seventh grade and
huge.
It was huge. I just remember like I saw it and I remember we bought tickets and it was actually like we couldn't find seats, me and my friends, because it was sold out. And so we had to get tickets to a later show. And I was so mad. I was like, I'll sit on the floor and watch it. I was so excited. And then, and then I loved it so much. And then I remember like it was when it was coming out on DVD, like a year later, because it used to be like a full year for something else to come out.
To distribute it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I remember like being like that day, I have to go get it. And it came with like this charm bracelet that I still have.
And merch.
Yeah. I said I hate talking about it, but mostly because of the internet and how Mean Girls has become
a meme.
It's like feels done to death. And I'm like, no, I still love it.
As you should. Then that's such a cool age to see that movie because it came out the year I was graduating and I had the same reaction. It felt like the most brilliant, fresh, relatable thing that you didn't really see coming.
Totally.
And we saw it twice because it was so rad. But to see it in grade 7 when you're like gearing up for high school, what a great message to have going into that where you shouldn't fight other women.
And right.
Stop calling each other bitches.
Yeah. Not that it worked.
No, but it was good to know there was maybe another way. Or
I could go home and watch it and feel better.
Did the DVD, because I didn't own the DVD of it, did it come with a commentary?
You know what? I I think there's a director and maybe a Tina Fey commentary, but I don't know that I've watched it.
That's the one thing I miss about DVDs is because I always love the commentary, and that's something that I made a point to do over Christmas was to watch Love Actually with the commentary because it's legendary. It is so funny because it's Richard Curtis, the writer, director, Hugh Grant, Bill Nighy, and then the little boy.
Oh, wow.
So it's these three adult men and the little elven boy. But most of it, the majority is just Hugh Grant shitting on Colin Firth. Anytime he's on screen, he's like, oh, this bloke. it's the best. It's the only way I can watch that movie now, I think.
That's great.
That's not true. I love Love Actually. It's trash. It's so terrible, but
I watched it this Christmas. It's just fun.
This is fun.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think
where we break up.
a tearful goodbye. So I'll ask you a few questions. I don't know. I was trying to think of these like 5 minutes before. Sure. Which Spice Girl are you?
Oh, you know what? That's a question I never thought reflected on. I guess Sporty Spice.
Okay.
I think. I don't know.
I could see that for you.
I think I'm Meatloaf on their bus driver. I think that's who I am, honestly. Who are you?
Love that. I've been saying, I used to say baby, but I've been saying sporty lately. Mm-hmm. Not because of the sports, but because I feel like she's, this is how I feel myself. She's reliable. She's...
Oh, wow. I didn't think of any.
Because she's the best singer. I don't know.
Fair. I feel just because she would wear like comfy clothes. I
think yeah.
My decision. Yeah.
Also that I don't want to wear a tight mini dress.
No. Mm-mm. Or be married to David Beckham.
Yeah, no.
I'm sure he's lovely, but I'll just pass.
His voice is, this is like mean. It's like kind of high pitched.
Oh, that's right.
It doesn't match him.
He has like an Abraham Lincoln voice.
Yeah, yeah. The next question, would you rather be a pop star or a movie star?
Good question. Oh my God. I have thought about this. I think pop star, I think if that's the harder, well, that's a weird thing to say from not having any experience. Definitely. I think pop star, just because it's seemingly more creative and you're not as at the whim of like other creators.
Mm.
You can have more control and you can do more stuff. My podcast right now that I listen to 24/7 is the New York Times podcast. So they're always talking about pop stars and, decisions they're making, the music they're making. They use lots of great vocabulary words, so I feel like I'm not wasting my time.
Cool.
But I just listened to an episode about Cardi B, which is just, she's so uplifting in so many ways.
I love that.
Yeah, and I don't think she could have had that same kind of expansive effect if she just went for like a traditional acting career.
That's true. Yeah. You can kind of have like more your personality, like
your personality. You don't have to be as scripted. You don't have to say things to protect like the enterprise, because actors are representing not just themselves, but the producers and the movie. So they can't, Nicki Minaj wouldn't be able to go off on everyone that she does. So
yeah, that's a good answer.
What would you be?
I think pop star as well. I definitely, you made some great points, that I was just like, I've always wanted to like, be a pop star. When I was a kid, just, that was what I did in my room. Pretended I was that.
Be sexy, be cool.
Yeah.
Have a career for 3 years and then get trashed on.
Yeah, exactly. Screaming fans. No, it's scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I already asked you this one about posters. Who do you think would win in a fight, the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
Wow. I think the Backstreet Boys, because I think they would be the underdogs, and usually the underdogs have more like fire in them.
Okay, yeah.
That's my take. Do you see them as the underdogs? Or
I do, yeah. I feel like I was always kind of team Backstreet, but I do feel NSYNC has more edge in a weird way.
But, okay. Well, let's qualify the hypothetical. Is this like during their prime?
I think, yeah.
Not now.
I don't want to think about them now.
During their prime. Yeah. Are there more Backstreet Boys? Or is it five versus...
It's five and five.
Yeah, I feel like the Carter energy is abusive. We know that now. So I feel that would come out in their favor. Yeah. I feel Justin Timberlake might be a pussy. So I don't think he would hold his own.
Yes, he would run away or hide.
Or moonwalk away, what have you.
Yeah.
We're talking about a physical fight, right? Not like a battle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not a sing-off or whatever. Okay, I don't know. Those are the only few questions that I have.
So let's see if I can rapid-fire you. Can I rapid-fire?
Oh, yeah.
If you could only listen to one... singer-songwriter woman from the 90s, who would it be?
Oh, Mariah Carey.
Really?
Yeah. I know people don't class her as a singer-songwriter, but she is.
No. Yeah, no, I was about to go, wait a second, but you're right. She does write her. All that butterfly shit is hers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let me do another one because I love it. Gina Harms, Mary Fuck Kill, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Casey Affleck.
Oh God. Well,
yeah.
I guess Mary Matt Damon. Mm-hmm.
With that
baseball. I know. Yeah. Fuck Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Kill Casey.
Once I threw Casey in, I made it pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a shitty.
Yeah.
But yeah. Ben Affleck has some wild energy. And I'm like, yeah.
You would see that in the bedroom. Yeah. That yeah. Back tattoo energy. Of
Exactly.
Oh, I could go on and on. Sorry, but I know we need a wrap.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Do you have any, where can people find you?
Oh, I'd love to get like 2 new Twitter followers.
Cool. Maybe my mom will follow you.
That'd be great. Thank you, Jenny, mom. Because I still, from Gentlemen Hecklers, I got a DM once from an audience member who went, you have the least number of followers of any comedian I've ever seen. So I've been trying to.
Oh, wow.
I think it was a compliment. I'm not sure. But people can find me at Funny Girl Blues on Twitter.
Sweet.
It's the one thing I have over Trump right now. Is I'm still.
Yes. Yeah. Follow Casey. She's very funny.
Where can they follow you? What's your plug? Oh,
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at Gina Harms. I have an Instagram for the podcast. It's at Dearest Pop Culture. Nice. And so that's where I post new episodes and also just pictures of the Spice Girls. So
can this episode come with the Gilmore Girls picture?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I will just say please subscribe to the podcast and give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts.
Even if you hate it, just do it.
Yeah, just give us 5 stars and then
got this far, it's 5 stars.
Exactly. Thank you. We'll see you next time. Mm-hmm.